This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. Today, I will be taught the word of faith. I boldly confess that my mind is alert, my heart is receptive, and I will never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you for getting me straight. I appreciate it. Everybody needs a Courtney in their life. Somebody that's going to always get you together, right? Am I right or am I wrong? We need somebody that's going to always say, you know what, I'm going to help you out right here because you may have missed it. I didn't get offended because she got me right. No, we need people like that, right? Okay, well, I'm telling you, you do. You may not think you do, but you do, all right? All right, okay, we're going to have fun today. All right, so my subtopic today is keep a grip. All right, keep a grip. So there is a phrase that I'm sure many of you are very familiar with when they tell you they want you to do something that you may not have done for a while. And the saying is, oh, it's just like riding a bike. Y'all heard that before? It's just like riding a bike, which basically means that you never forget how to ride a bike, right? So even if it's been a while, you remember the process of riding the bike. So some of you may get on that bike. You may have a few encounters with a curb or two. Right? But you get back on that bike and you start pedaling and it starts coming back to, oh yeah, this is what I do. I just hold on, I get my balance and keep pedaling, right? Because if you keep pedaling, you're going to kind of help yourself stay stable, right? So there is a process to it that you just don't usually forget. But sometimes we do forget things that we don't often do or use very often, and it's not maybe at the forefront of our minds. So like, you know, I was thinking about my kids, like I don't know their cell phone numbers. Like, because I just don't know them. While they're in my phones, I just hit their name. So if I didn't have my phone and I had to call my kids, I don't know who I'm going to call because I don't know their number. Like, I just hit their names in my phone because I have not had to really memorize their names. Or how many people, like, you know, this happens to me all the time. When I'm trying to log into something and I don't know the password. So forget your password. It's like my favorite link now, right? I'm always like, forgot my password. But then I got to thinking. So sometimes you hit that link and it wants to ask you to put in the old password. I'm like, duh, I don't know the old password. That's why I hit forgot my password because I want to reset it. But sometimes, you know, if you don't do something often, it may slip your mind, you know, because you're not often doing it. But so we start losing grips on things that we don't often always do. And it's not because we're mad at it or because we kicked it out, but because sometimes life naturally just pulls things from us. But here's the thing. Now that we've heard this series on being free and have arrived to this place of freedom, it is very, very important that we keep a grip on this freedom, all right? So Paul encourages here, I'm going to give you a scripture. It's found in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1. Paul encourages in this scripture, he says, it's crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. Keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. So Paul is encouraging us that everything we have learned about Jesus and have experienced firsthand from him is to be something of value to us, and we ought not drift away from it. We've all experienced God in our marriages, in our families, in our finances, in our lives, and it's important that we don't devalue all that he's done in our lives and go back to the old way or just start slipping. Amen? But Paul wrote that it is what? Crucial that we keep a firm grip on how we were taught how to treat our spouses. We keep a firm grip on how we were taught how to control our attitude when we go to Walmart on Saturdays. We keep a firm grip on how we were taught how to talk to people and not devalue people with our words. Amen? So it is crucial. Why? So that we don't drift from these things. So the verse says, keep a firm grip so that we don't drift off. In other words, never let go of the word that you've heard. So let's define keep a firm grip. Keep a firm grip is I want you to give attention and action to it. I want you to give attention and action to it. It's not that we want to forget the word, but have you put the word in action in our lives? You know, I had the awesome opportunity on Friday night to speak at my dad's 50th salvation service. My dad's been saved for 50 whole years, longer than I've been alive, all right? This number 50 is just coming along really quick. I guess I see my future, right? But so I had the awesome opportunity, and if I'm going to be honest. At first, I was like, I ain't never did a service celebrating 50 years of salvation before. But as we were there, I was like, you know what? This is an awesome milestone, because some people don't make it 50 years in life, but to stay saved for 50 years is something to be celebrated. Amen. So it was a great, great time. And one of the things, as I was there, I talked about how in Jesus's culture that you have not heard until you do something. You have not heard God's word until there's some action behind it. And how many of you have kids in the room? Anybody have children in the room? All right. So the first question you use, like whenever you tell them to do something and it hasn't been done, the first question you ask them is, did you hear what I said? Because I don't see no type of action related to what I told you to do, right? Because clearly you didn't hear what I said, because what I actually do has not been done, right? So I think sometimes God looks down and asks, did they hear what I said? Because I don't see any action taking place by what I asked them to do. But here's the thing. When we hear something, there's got to be some movement or some motion to it, amen? So you don't just know it and not do anything about it. Right? But do you know that it is possible to know something and not do it? You know you should tithe, but some people just don't do it. You know you should forgive, but some people just don't do it. You know you should work out, but some people just don't do it. You know you should put that fried chicken wing down, but some people just don't do it, right? You know you should get up and go to work, but some people just don't. But we got to get a firm grip on the word and not let go, amen? So you could change your mind about a lot of things. Change your mind about a type of food. Change your mind about a fashion trend. Change your mind about going from Apple to Android. Please don't do that. But anyways, you can change your mind about being a Cowboys fan. But one thing you cannot do is you cannot change your mind about the word. Amen? Why? Because the word is what keeps us. The word is what sustains us. The word is what helps us in tough times. So never, ever forget the word that you've heard. Keep a grip on the word. Somebody say, keep a grip. So our freedom is attached to us activating the word. Our freedom is attached to us putting the word in motion. And how do you know that if you're activating the word, how you respond under pressure? How do you know when your word is being, and when the word's been activated in your life, is when you're in a tough time? That's how you know if you're activating the word. It's how you respond under pressure. But you have to make the decision that I'm not going to panic, right? I'm not going to let fear grip my heart. I'm going to just keep confessing the word of God. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to quit until I see the manifestation of what God has promised me. Amen? So always remember that your situation can never, ever change the word, but the word can always, always change your situation. Amen? So that's why we have to be so full of the word that when attacks come our way, it runs smack dab into the word. When attacks come, they run into the word that's been hitting in your heart. It don't run into your emotions, because why? Your emotions are going to take you in and everywhere. But when you are constantly feeding yourself with the word of God, when something comes up that's contrary to God's word, it has no other right but to hit the word that's already been stored in your heart. So keep a grip on the word. Amen? So sometimes you have to also refresh your grip. You got to refresh your grip. You know, I've had the I call it an awesome opportunity to be with a trainer for the past month. I say it's an awesome opportunity. But why? Because I'm watching the words of my mouth, right? So she's got me where, and I'm very honest, I'm very transparent, I do not have the most upper body strength, okay? That's always been one of my weaknesses. So I've always limited myself to a 10-pound body, to a 10-pound dumbbell, right? I don't care how hard it get, how easy it get, I ain't going above 10. That's what I told myself. That's heavy enough, right? So the first time we got there, she tried me at a 12. I said, no, ma'am. I just let her know, I cannot do no chest press with no 12-pound dumbbell. I told her from the jump, I can't do that. So what did she do? Gave me that 12-pound dumbbell. So she gave me that 12-pound dumbbell, and she told me I had to do 12 reps, y'all. 12 at a 12-pound. What was my limit? 10, right? So she told me, so I said, okay, I will try it. That's what I told her, I'll try it. So I went ahead and I did the 12 the first time. I had to do 3 sets. Second time, I did the 12. Third time, I did the 12. I'm like, wait a minute. So I guess I can do 12, right? So, but this past Thursday, she go and give me a 17.5. I said the devil is a lie. But what did I do? 17.5. Why? But guess what? When I got tired, my hands started getting a little sweaty, right? And she had this thing above my face. So I said, let me refresh my grip so this thing don't drop on my head. Because I had to refresh my grip. That way I would not let it slip out of my hand. But sometimes in life, you got to refresh your grip and get yourself refocused and say, you know what? I already know the word of God. Let me refresh my grip and get myself together. Because sometimes things, again, it starts slipping away. Why? Because we go through life and we just start having our own, you know, our own little thing that we do. And we start having our own little schedules. Next thing you know, you used to get on the prayer line. Now you're on the prayer line maybe once a month. You know, or now, you know, talk about going to church 4 Sundays. You know, so some people that starts slipping. But God said it's time to refresh our grip. Amen. So have you ever, amen. So have you ever slipped and dropped something? You know I have. I get a new phone almost every year because I'm always dropping a cell phone, right? But have you ever dropped something that's like valuable? How many got cracked screens right now because you dropped a cell phone, right? See, I'm not by myself, right? But sometimes, again, we drop things that have value. And how many know that the word should have value in our lives, amen? And a lot of times we can't have a good handle on things because we're trying to carry too many things at once. Sometimes you got to start letting some things go because we can't get a good grip because I'm trying to carry this, I'm trying to carry that, I'm trying to hold on to my past, I'm trying to work, go to school, and start a business, I'm trying to keep the kids in softball, keep the kids in track, take the kids to tutoring. We can't do it all, so that's why our grip is always not necessarily tight because there's so much in our hands, we can't get a firm grip. So God is saying, let some stuff go, refresh your grip, and get refocused, amen? So make sure that we're not just going to bed and waking up without purpose. But every day is a new day to have purpose and to impact somebody's life, amen? So it's not just about coming to church and taking it for granted. We don't just come here because it's Sunday, right? Some of you may have felt like you didn't need to come to church today. I mean, I'm only here because it's Sunday. You know, you may feel like you're already a spiritual giant, but I guarantee you that there is an area in your life that you need the word of God to speak into, amen? So I'm going to refresh my grip. How? By staying consistent with my prayer and my devotion time. I'm going to refresh my grip by responding to the tugging and the nudging of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to refresh my grip by getting back to doing what God has called me and graced me to do. Amen? So I'm not going to just keep going through with my hands all open and not tightly holding on to the word of God. Amen? So we're refreshing our grip. So part B of that verse that we read, it says to keep a firm grip on what we've heard so that we don't drift off. So that we don't drift off. So now drifting is basically the natural process when you're not anchored to something. When you're not anchored to something, you're just going to start drifting away. Drifting on. Okay, some of y'all know the words, right? But anyways, so you just start drifting, right? You know, we have a boat at the house. And so sometimes Pastor will go out on the boat and we'll just go somewhere where it's pretty open water. And he'll just turn the boat off and we'll just sit there. So what we'll notice is if we're just sitting there just talking, what may have been only like 5 feet away now could be 20 feet away. Why? Because the water has caused us to start drifting away. And rarely will you drift exactly where you want it to go. You're going to drift wherever that water takes you, right? But spiritually, drifting is a very slow fade, right? It happens over time. It's not this radical decision of, shoot, I'm forgetting church. Deuces, I'm out of here. It's not this radical decision, but it's like a slow fade. It's like fading can look something like, not today. I'll go next week. Fading could look something like, oh, I'll watch the live later. It ain't live no more. You know, so, you know, I'll do it later. You know, serving. Man, I work 14 hours a day. I'm tired. I don't have time. I need to get my rest. That's what fading could look like, right? So again, you're not mad at Jesus. You ain't cussing the church, but it's just like a slow fade. And if we're not careful, we start living our lives based on where we are at the moment and our temporary situations, and we base those off of the beliefs of culture. If we're not careful, we start living based on what Sean Hannity or what Don Lemons reports. We start listening to the news, right, and whatever they say. But we cannot allow complacency, convenience, or community to cause us to come in and start drifting. Amen? We can't allow complacency, convenience, or our community to cause us to start drifting. The headlines on the news now have you in fear. We're going to be eating beanies and weenies because food prices are high. No, that's not what I'm going to do. Somebody finally showed you some attention, and now your convictions are not as strong as they used to be. It's okay if he touches me there. It's okay if we do this. We're not going all the way, but before you had a standard. But now because everybody else is doing it, clearly it's okay. But what does the Word of God say? Let's not drift away from the Word of God. Amen? Woo! That was kind of tight. Okay. So let's talk about drift based on what the word meant during Paul's time. Three things the word drift means. One, when an arrow slips out of the quiver, okay? Drift in Paul's time is when an arrow slips out of the quiver. In other words, when you're going into battle and there is a quiver on your back, right? You reach in and pull your arrow out, but because it's time to fight, but guess what? The arrow is gone. It's dropped along the way. So now you've dropped your ability to fight somewhere along the way. And the sad thing is, you usually don't even know it until it's time to fight and you're in the battle. So that's what drift is. It's when your quiver is no longer has the weapons you need to fight with. The second definition of drift is used as a picture of an avalanche taking place. When you get swallowed and buried by something that overtook you in life. You guys ever seen those avalanches where the snow just comes down and just covers everything up? So the second thing, again, is when you get swallowed and buried by something that overtook you in life. And the third definition is if you swallow food the wrong way. Don't you just hate it when you're just trying to enjoy your fish and chips with your hot sauce? It's getting real good. You start swallowing real fast. And I see, you know, you're coughing and your tears coming out your eyes. And you know, in this day and time, you cannot cough in restaurants. Everybody crying out, Rona, Rona, right? And I know there's this big, you know, debate about having one pipe or two pipes. It goes down the wrong pipe, right? That's what we say. But anyway, so it goes down the wrong pipe. So you swallow the food and you start coughing again. You're crying everywhere because you can't breathe. But that's what happens. Paul is saying it's when you choke on life. So three things. You lost your weapon. You can't fight. You get swallowed or buried by overwhelming issues. And now you're choking on life's issues. But that's what drifting does. It takes your weapon. It buries you and it chokes you out. But drifting, again, takes no effort. Again, some people feel, you know, I don't have to come to church. You know, but again, that's what happens when we start just going through life without purpose. When we just start doing, just waking up, doing whatever the day gives you. No, we have to make sure that we put a plan in action every day. You know, I'm not just going to go with the flow. No, I'm gonna take control of my day, amen? So drifting takes no effort at all. Again, you could love Jesus and be drifting. You could be in church right now and still be drifting. Look, I can be a pastor and still be drifting. No one is exempt. But here's the thing. We got to be honest about where we really are. I don't want to be walking around just living a lie, right? You know, and I'm going to be honest, y'all. Don't get I'm very transparent. We have this joke at my house where it ain't really a joke to pastor, but it's a joke to me. But anyways, but he talks about how I can't swim. I say I can swim. I just need a moment to warm up, okay? He said, what you mean you need a moment to warm up? If you can get in the water and swim or you can't. I'm like, I need to get around the little, stay around the ledge a few minutes, you know, get used to the water, let it get in my face, and then I'll go to the little 3 feet, pick my feet up. So to me, you know, to me, I can swim after I get comfortable. No, she said no. But again, so I have to be honest, I can't swim. But so there's no need in me walking around lying to y'all. And Pastor would tell y'all, lady can't swim. I don't care what she tell y'all, she can't do it. But I had to really, you know what? I can't swim. I can't keep walking around here lying to myself, saying that I can swim, because if I go in enough water right now, I need somebody around me. Don't go too far. We got to be honest about where we are. Where have I started drifting? Where have I just kind of laxed and relaxed my grip? No, let's get back to keeping that grip on the Word of God and letting the Word of God continue to free us up. Amen? All right, James 1 and 21, my last scripture. James 1 and 21 says, "So get rid of all filth and evil in your lives, and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts, for it has the power to do what? Save your souls." God's word will save your souls. You know, a lot of times we're often talking about how you're being saved spiritually so that you can spend eternity in heaven. And how many know that that is a blessing? I mean, that we should want to spend eternity in heaven. But how many know that the word just told us here that the word will save your soul? That's your mind, your spirit, your emotions, your heart, your intellect. So God says, "I will rescue you and save your mind." So don't think that you have to go around here, you know, battling all these other things that are in your mind. But God said that the word has the power to save your mind, to help cleanse your mind from all those dead works. Amen. Those things that have hurt you. He says, "I have the power to save your heart where it's been broken and bruised. And maybe you feel like you've been abandoned." God says the word of God will not only save you spiritually, but it will also save your soul. Amen. But again, we got to be honest about where we are. Nobody is perfect. Amen? If we were perfect, we wouldn't be here right now. Amen? But we are all in a place where we all can grow and get better. Amen? And there are some times we have got to really swallow our pride and admit that we don't know what we're doing. Again, I don't know how to swim, so stop saying it. Stop lying. That's all it really is. Why? Because I cannot go out there and effectively do it. So let's just let the Holy Spirit come out, come and help us. And the key word it says here was humbly accept it. Stop wondering about what people are going to think. I don't care if you know I can't swim. It ain't give me no gold medal because I can swim. And I'm not going to be hating on you because you can, right? You know what I mean? So it doesn't matter what people think or, you know, it's just time for us to really walk in this freedom and get a grip. Amen? So the truth of God's word is two things, and I'm done. Perfect timing. Courtney, you are on it today, girl. All right, I'm playing. So two things. The truth of God's word is two things. It's a rudder. Again, we have a boat. See, I've been learning some stuff. I'm not a novice, right? But I've been learning a few things. But a rudder is this thing on the back that helps the boat go, right? Right? Okay, cool. See? It's a rudder in your life so that the truth can guide you, right? And the truth of God's word is also an anchor. It's an anchor in your storms so that it can hold you. So truth guides and truth holds. When life is good, you need a rudder so that it can guide you to where you're going. And it won't take all day. It won't take 15 years. But you'll go ahead and it'll lead you to the place where you're going to go. But when storms arise, that word, it will be there to anchor you so that you don't drift off course. Because the anchor will keep you in one position. You know, we see people all the time, always when they find a good spot to fish in, "I don't want to leave this spot. This is where the fish are at," right? So they drop their anchor right there by so they can get a good catch. So you want to have yourself anchored where God is so that the word can just continue to hold you and keep you on course so that you don't drift any further. So today I encourage you, refresh your grip. If you have to, so that you can get freedom in some areas and so that you don't start drifting in the areas that Christ has already made you free. So that's all I have for you today. I want you to bow your head, every eye closed, every head bowed. We're going to pray today. Father, we thank you for our time together. We thank you, Father God, for just who you are in our lives. Thank you for this word that you brought to us today, that we will keep a firm grip on your word because your word is settled in heaven. Your word is what helps us. Your word is what keeps us. Your word, it definitely sustains us. So, Father, we thank you that we'll choose to operate your word. We won't just be hearers of your word, but we will be doers of your word on today. So maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. I want to give you that opportunity today. Romans 10 and 9 says that if we would confess with our mouth and believe with our hearts the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead, that we shall be saved. And it goes on to say that from with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And all that means is that you have to believe that God sent his only son Jesus to die for you, and that you need him in your life to the degree that you are willing to repent of your sins. Maybe you're here today and you say, you know, I'm already saved, but I find myself kind of slipping away and I've kind of lowered my standards. I've kind of lowered my convictions. I'm allowing myself to do things that I know I just shouldn't do. So maybe you're here and you want to rededicate your life today. The wonderful thing about God is he never, ever puts us at the back of the line. Repentance just basically means to turn around and to get back to where we were. So when we go, we won't go to the back of the line, but we'll just simply get right back in line so that we can start going forward to what God has called us to do. So if you're here today and you want to rededicate your life, I'm going to offer that for you to you in just a moment as well. So maybe you're here, you also are looking for a church. You want somewhere where you can come and get all of your spiritual needs met. I want to present to you one of the greatest churches, I believe, on this side of heaven, where you can come and just get all of your spiritual needs met and leave every time better than the way you came. So if you're here today, you want to answer the appeals for salvation, rededication, or church membership, there is a connection card in the seat pocket in front of you, or if you're watching online, there's one in the caption above. All I'm going to ask you to do is take that connection card and fill it out in its entirety, and at the conclusion of our services, our ushers are going to have an offering bucket. If you'll put that connection card in that bucket, we want to help you to get all of your spiritual needs met today. So if you're here to get today, you know you're going to get saved, or know you're going to rededicate your life, again, just get that connection card and fill it out in its entirety. And I think the ushers also have ink pens. If you need a pen to fill out your card with, they'll be happy to get that to you as well. So if you also have a prayer request, we want to pray for you. So let us know how we can help you again along this journey on today. So again, if you're here, you want to answer the appeal for salvation, rededication, or church membership, just fill out the connection card, and we're going to help you get all that done today. So there's a prayer that we're going to pray together that I want everyone to repeat today. Maybe you don't need to pray this prayer, but we want you to pray it anyway to help the person beside you feel more comfortable. And I know that we can always pray, amen, and ask first for rededication or for repentance. And so together, let's make this prayer. Repeat after me. Say, Father, I come to you asking you to forgive me for sinning against you. A holy God, I know Jesus died and shed his blood just for me. So Jesus, come into my heart, be my Lord, be my Savior. And from this day forward, I'll serve you. Now Satan, I denounce you and every evil work. You have nothing to do with me, and I have nothing to do with you. Jesus is my Savior. He's my Lord. And I'll always serve him. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise right where you are on today.